Georgia politicians took to the stage the past 2 weeks at both the Democratic and Republican national conventions. Now a new phase of the presidential election is about to begin, and here to recap the conventions and give us some highlights, especially as they pertain to the state of Georgia, is Andra Gillespie. She's a political science professor at Emory University, and she attended both conventions. Good morning, Andra.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing okay. Just briefly compare and contrast the mood of the Democratic versus the Republican conventions.
Well, I'll say that both state delegations left the conventions pretty confident in their ability to be able to win the state. Overall, I think the tone of the conventions was different. The Republicans focused a lot on what was wrong with the country and on Donald Trump's ability to be able to fix it. And the Democrats tried to be much more optimistic in terms of their tone.
Who was representing Georgia at the RNC?
I spent a lot of time with the statewide delegation, and so in both for both conventions. And so you, of course, had your statewide party chairs on both sides. You had delegates who were active partisans on both sides. There were elected officials who were there, both Democratic and Republican, local party activists. I think probably the one thing that might distinguish the Democratic delegation from the Republican delegation was the fact that there were Bernie Sanders delegates who up until now had not really participated in politics before, who were coming to the convention and coming to formal party politics for the first time.
Right. But at the Republican National Convention, it was interesting. A surprisingly large number of the Georgia delegation were Black.
Yes. And so, you know, the numbers were really interesting. So going into the convention, there had been a Washington Post report that had said that there were going to be 18 Black delegates. And they said that the largest delegations were going to be coming from California and Texas, and then Georgia was going to be third. They said that there were three. And looking at the list going into the convention, I knew that that wasn't true. When we got there, that was when I got a chance to meet many of the African-American delegates. There were definitely more than three regular delegates, and then there were alternates on top of that. So, it was actually incredibly diverse. And that 18 number might not have actually been the most accurate. And so there's still some contestation over it. I think once you add in delegates and you add in alternates, you are probably looking at it being more like 35, 36 Black delegates nationally. That's still really, really low. But if you hung out with the Georgia delegation, it was actually somewhat diverse.
Any division among the Georgia delegates at the Republican convention?
One of the things that was actually really interesting was, especially after Wednesday night when Ted Cruz refused to endorse Donald Trump, there was a discussion. And so I know that C-SPAN aired the Texas delegation breakfast, which got pretty heated. From my understanding, there were some heated discussions behind closed doors in Georgia. I didn't see it at the delegate breakfast. John Padgett just mentioned it the next day. And talking with some of those delegates, some of whom were not pledged to Donald Trump, they actually were really taken aback by Ted Cruz's behavior. And they really sort of framed it in terms of what's proper decorum at a convention. So, you know, in terms of the convention as coronation of the candidate, there are just certain things that they didn't think were actually the most appropriate. And especially like refusing to get up and endorse a candidate at his own convention, they thought that crossed the line, even if they had been supportive of Ted Cruz, the candidate. And an interesting story about that. When Ted Cruz was giving his speech, I was actually helping a friend who was a journalist get an interview with a Georgia delegate. So I was actually in the hold, kind of below, only hearing the dull roar, not actually seeing it live and up front. But when I got kicked out of there and came back upstairs, it was all a buzz. So within a few minutes of Ted Cruz having made his speech, you could hear walking around the arena people talking about how upset they were and how uncouth it was for him to have done that.
Let's play a clip from one of the RNC speeches. This is from Georgia's own Newt Gingrich.
Donald Trump won our party's nomination because he is willing to tell the truth about the things that matter. He has a great running mate in Mike Pence. They will put our safety first, and they will defend America first. We can be proud to stand with them.
It's Newt Gingrich speaking at the Republican National Convention, and we're talking to Emory's Andre Gillespie, political science professor. Andre, are you surprised that Gingrich ultimately didn't end up getting the VP tap from Trump?
No. And so, you know, when we're thinking about the pros and cons of the candidates, Newt Gingrich could be considered because running with Donald Trump, I think, is still a risk for us, particularly young politicians. And yeah. So being at the end of his political career, Newt Gingrich didn't have anything to lose. But also, I mean, I think if you think about compatibility and think about complementarity, Newt Gingrich didn't necessarily bring that to the table. He's got as big a personality as Donald Trump, which could create conflict or clash. In many different instances. Also, Newt Gingrich doesn't necessarily look like the type of person who would be a second to anybody. And because they do have very similar personalities.
He wanted to be, though.
If you wanted to temper. Yeah, no, and I think he was actually willing to serve his party in that way because there were so many people who were kind of standing back and refusing to do that.
Oh, yeah, he came out and said it. I mean, he was campaigning for the job.
Yeah, no. I mean, and so I don't want to take that away from him. But, I mean, he's in a very different career stage than, say, a Joni Ernst or a Bob Corker who pulled themselves out of the race. But personality-wise, especially if Donald Trump's liability is the notion that he might not be temperamentally fit to be president of the United States, having somebody like Mike Pence at his side, who has a much more sober type of personality and is much more serious, actually would do more to assure the party establishment of the seriousness of this campaign than putting somebody with an outsized personality like Newt Gingrich up there.
Listeners, we'd love to hear from you. Did you watch any of the convention speeches? How do you think that each party represented themselves? Tweet us at OST Talk or join our conversation happening at facebook.com/onsecondthoughtradio. Let's go over and talk more about the Democratic convention, and let's hear from former President Jimmy Carter. This is from a video message that played during the convention. The audio is a little bit sketchy here. Try to listen tough and try to listen hard, and I will try to help you out with it.
And I thank Senator Sanders for energizing and bringing so many young people into the electoral process. To all of you young Americans, I say, stay engaged, stay involved, and be sure to vote this November.
That's Carter there thanking Senator Sanders for energizing young voters and bringing them into the electoral process and urging young voters to stay involved even now that Bernie Sanders is no longer directly involved in this election. I should first of all note that David Weigel, who's a political writer that I like a lot, noted on Twitter that if Barack Obama lives as long as Jimmy Carter has, he will be addressing the Democratic convention at least at the year 2052. Andre, can you imagine that?
That would be very cool.
Talk about the Bernie supporters that Carter was referencing there. How did they conduct themselves during the convention? Were there any disturbances beyond that first day when things were a little bit rough?
Well, yes, there were. So, you know, the first couple of hours of Monday night were rough. Bernie Sanders sent a message to his supporters to tell them to kind of cool it down. So if by late Monday evening you started to notice that the booing was dying down, it was because Sanders actually asked his supporters to stand down. Yeah, no, there was still some tension. There was some tension in the Georgia delegation on Tuesday when Sanders conceded the nomination to Hillary Clinton and asked for the vote by acclamation for all intents and purposes to nominate Hillary Clinton. There were some Sanders delegates who thought that when people started to chant Bernie, 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 that wasn't actually being supportive of Sanders, that was actually gloating. And they were very upset and they threatened to not come back. I can't tell for sure whether or not they actually made good on their promise to not go back. I certainly saw people with delegate badges. And I couldn't see. So I, you know, wasn't in a position to be able to verify whether or not they came or didn't come. But there were many walkouts. So, you know, after Hillary Clinton's name was put into nomination, Sanders delegates walked out and they went over to the media tent, which was outside the arena, and they staged a silent protest. There were was even a mini walkout on Thursday. And so you could see a small group of Sanders supporters who came out and they were chanting Jill, not Hill, so that they indicating their intent to vote for Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate. You know, I think that for Sanders supporters, you know, this was oftentimes their first time Interacting with party politics and party rules. There are some things that definitely need to be addressed within the Democratic Party. So questions about whether or not rules were actually followed, questions about their perceptions among some Sanders delegates that the voting was rigged. And so we have to sort of, the Democratic Party is going to have to address those issues. And from a scholarly standpoint, we're going to have to investigate them from a nonpartisan, objective standpoint to actually see, you know, what the truth actually was.
Gonna play a couple of clips back to back here. Here's Atlanta Mayor Kasim Reed's speech where he takes a shot at Trump.
Tonight we choose diversity over division. We choose a steady-handed commander-in-chief over a loose cannon. We choose a leader who would rather be in the trenches, securing health care for 8 million children, than in a suite putting his name on a tower that he probably doesn't own. We choose something different tonight.
Burn. And now one more clip from the Democratic National Convention. Here's Georgia Congressman John Lewis during his nomination speech.
I've known Hillary Clinton for many years. She is one of the most qualified candidates to ever run for president. She is a leader, sometimes sailing against the wind to break down barriers that divide us.
Emory political science professor Andre Gillespie, 20 seconds. Is the Georgia delegation behind Hillary Clinton?
Yes. Overall, I would say yes.
Okay, that was shorter than 20 seconds. Well done. We're talking to Andre Gillespie, political science professor at Emory University. She's going to stay with us into the next segment. This is On Second Thought.